Scott.
Thank you, Akiva. If you guys didn't get, there's some handouts that are being given out right now. There's a teaching that some of the Svarim discuss that many of the ideas of the Torah has such depth and is so profound that you can find many of the ideas of the Torah even in just the first pasuk. You should have two pieces of paper, one that looks like this, and one that looks like this. So that you can find many of the ideas of the Torah just in the first pasuk of the Torah, or the first word of the Torah. So if I asked you, how do we learn about relationships from this word? The word Bereishis. What is the word Bereishis? The first word of the Torah. What does it teach us about relationships? Yeah, what's your name?
Idan.
What do you think?
Introduction and first impression
are
extremely important.
Wow. That's incredible, Idan. Idan, where are you from?
Vegas.
Wow. Torah from Vegas. Unbelievable. So Idan already taught us something so deep that introductions and first impressions are so important. Many sociologists, psychologists have written about the amount of time it takes you to decide whether or not this year is going to be good. You decide it around 2 seconds in. 2 seconds, that's all it takes. We automatically make judgments and assumptions about people. So Idan, that's a very beautiful teaching. I want to take a look at one of the most basic primary texts that we have that teach us how we should lead our lives. And maybe that will give us a little bit of an insight into how we should set up our relationships. Take a look at this second page. If you take a look on the top, it says, which relationships and how do we improve them? The Mishnah famously tells us in Pirkei Avos that there are three pillars of the world. Torah, Avodah, and Gmilas Chasadim. Torah, Avodah, and Gmilas Chasadim. Now we know that we also have three Avos. Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. And each one of them had a hallmark, had one thing that stood out among all the other things that they accomplished. They had one thing that was their card. That was their spiritual legacy to their children. Avram was known as somebody who went out there and did kindness to everybody. Even when he wasn't well, even if it wasn't for him, he was out there trying to help people. Yitzchak was known as a Baal Avodah. He was even offered as a sacrifice on the Mizbeach himself. And Yaakov was the one who sat so diligently learning Torah. But the Vilna Gaon teaches us that Torah, Avodah, and Gmilas Chasadim, aside from those being the pillars of the world, the reason that we identify these three things is because they represent three types of relationships that each and every single one of us have in our lives. You see, Torah represents our relationship with ourselves. When we're here for the summer learning Torah, the goal is that the Torah that we learn impacts and drives who we are. That we come out at the end of this summer as a different person, because every bit of Torah that we learn makes us better, improves us, changes us. Avodah, the idea of davening to Hashem, building that relationship is the ultimate being Adam Lamakom. Building our relationship with God, and Gmilas Chasadim, going out there and performing acts of kindness, that represents our interactions with other people. We all have different types of relationships in our lives. Our relationship with God, our relationship with others, and our relationship with ourselves. And if we want to talk about how we develop and build healthy relationships, first we have to focus on which relationships we're going to be discussing. And then we can focus on exactly how we want to build those relationships. For tonight's purpose, I want to try to focus the most on relationships with other people. Although we'll see that maybe they're all really connected in just a second. There's a story about the Apta Rav. His name was Rav Avram Yeshua Heschel, the Ohev Yisrael. And the Apta Rav encouraged his Hasidim to do something called a Cheshbon HaNefesh. That means that he encouraged them to take time out of their life to think about how are they doing, how can they improve, how can they become better people. And he had one student, one follower, who was a very involved businessman, somebody who was very important in the community, he was on many boards, he was very busy, doing very, very righteous things, taking care of many other people. And he told his Rebbe, Rebbe, I'm so busy, can I be excused from doing this Cheshbon HaNefesh? I just don't have the time, you know, can you give me like a little late pass, it'll be good, you'll check it off, sign the Apta Rav, will be good, no problem. And the Abdurav said to him, quote, anyone who does not have time to have Rachmanis on his own soul is incapable of having Rachmanis on others. And when we talk about relationships, and when we talk about improving our connection with others, step number one begins with us. Step number one involves improving our relationship with ourselves. If we want to be able to connect with others, we have to be able to connect with ourselves first. And it's because of that, the Abdur Rav wasn't going to give an excuse pass. He wasn't just going to let this student off of the hook. He made sure that every single person, no matter who you are and what you do, needs to take out the time to think. And the fact that we're sitting here tonight, in the middle of the summer, during the 3 weeks, taking the time to think about the relevance of Torah in our lives and how the Torah informs our relationships, there's nothing more holy and there's nothing more wonderful that we can be doing in order to improve ourselves and our connection to others. So here we are to discuss relationship, but now let's go back to the beginning. Take a look at that word Bereishis. Does anybody notice anything about the Nekudos underneath the word Bereishis? How many Nekudos do you see under the word Bereishis? Anybody? Three? You see three? Everybody sees three? Now, I don't want to make anybody get nauseous having to do with Hebrew grammar and telling you the different words having to do here. But what's this called under here? The base? What's that called? That's a shva. Underneath the resh? A tsere. Underneath the shin? That's called a chirik. We got a shva, a tsere, and a chirik. And a very holy man, his name was Rav Shem Klinberg, Hashem Yimkom Damo, he was murdered by the Nazis in 1943, writes that in the word Bereishis, the Torah already tells us about so many of our relationships. You see, the Nekudos underneath the word Bereishis resemble and represent three types of relationships. Sometimes we have relationships where there's somebody on top of us. What type of relationship is that? Hashem, maybe. Maybe our parents. Parents and children, Rav Shem Klinberg says. Hashem is our parent. So we have a shva that represents the relationship. Sometimes we have a relationship with parents. Somebody's one on top, one below. Sometimes we have relationships where there's two dots side by side. What's that type of relationship? A friend. A friend. Me and my friends, we're hanging out together. We're each two peas in a pod or two dots in a tzere, whichever one you'd rather. And we're there together, side by side. Don't walk in front of me. Don't walk behind me. Just be beside me, beautiful. And then there's the one dot. The one dot. What'd you say? That's correct. Said Rav Shem Klinberg that the one dot represents a spousal relationship. We all know, and God willing, one day everybody will be able to experience it, that when one finds their spouse, their other half, so to speak, what happens? That person becomes complete. And says Rav Shem Klinberg, it's not just that the Torah put three random nekudos underneath three random letters, but if you look, the nekudos are underneath precisely the letter that represents that idea. You see the shva underneath the beis. Beis stands for banim, children. The nekuda underneath the beis tells us that we have to focus on a relationship, parent to child, child to parent. The tsere underneath the resh, we say has to do with friends. The word that we use for friends is reim, underneath the resh. And the chirik, underneath the shin, but not just the shin, the aleph and the shin, that has to stand for ish, isha, spouses, forming together, coming together to build that one unit that is a marriage. So we have different roles in our lives. We all play different roles in different situations. We're friends, we're children. God willing, one day you'll be parents. And sometimes we're that one lone chirik together with our spouse, and sometimes we're those two dots together next to the tzerei, and sometimes we're that shva, a little bit more of a hierarchical relationship. But we all play different roles, and the goal is to strengthen and develop those healthy relationships within whatever role we're playing at that time. How do we do that? So we find ourselves in the 3 weeks, a time when we mourn the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash and the lack of Hashem's presence in the world. We don't have the same miracles before our eyes that we're able to say, oh my God, I can recognize Hashem so clearly as we did at the time of the Beis HaMikdash. And if you look at the three Haftorahs we read, if you take a look on the second page, if you look at the three Haftorahs that we're going to read over the next three Shabbosim, You'll notice that the first word in each of the three Haftorahs that we read tells us to do something else over the next 3 weeks. This Shabbos, we'll read the Haftorah of Divrei Yirmiyahu. What does Divrei mean? To speak. Next week, God willing, we're going to read a Haftorah Shim'u Dvar Hashem. What does Shim'u mean? To hear or listen. In 3 weeks from now, three Shabbosim from now, we're going to read the Haftorah of Chazon. Shabbos Chazon. And what does Chazon mean to see? Says many of the Svarim that these three verbs are there to tell us that over the next 3 weeks when we mourn the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, we know the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed because people were not being good to one another. There was sinas chinam, baseless hatred. There was no reason for us to not be getting along. The Nevi'im and the Haftorahs that we read indicate to us three things that we're supposed to work on in order to develop those relationships, to improve that which we destroyed the Beis HaMikdash with. We have to work on our divrei, our speaking. We have to work on our shimu, our hearing. And we have to work on our chazon, our seeing. And it's not at random that the Beis HaMikdash represented these three things so clearly. We say, ki beisi beis tefila yikarei l'chol ha'amim. The Beis HaMikdash was the house of prayer. It was a place where we did what? Spoke. We prayed. We talk about the fact that when a person didn't know halacha, ki palei mimcha davar l'mishpat, v'kamta v'alita el makom asher yivchar Hashem bo el kacha bo. If something eludes you in judgment, you're not sure, what's the din, what's the halacha, how should I proceed in this situation, where do we go to get that answer? We go up to Har Habayis, to the Sanhedrin, to the Beis HaMikdash, and we get that same answer. We hear, we listen to the messages of our rabbis and our teachers to know exactly how should we proceed in life. And finally, every single day in Shmona Esrei, three times a day, we say at the very end of Shmona Esrei, V'sham na'avadcha bi-yir'ah. Many point out that yir'ah, what does it mean to fear God? Does that mean that we should be afraid, we should be hiding, we should be crouching because we're so nervous? When you get to the Beis HaMikdash, you have to, you know, maybe hide yourself because you're so nervous about encountering God. Yir'ah, the word fear, doesn't do it justice. The word awe is much better. We're supposed to have trepidation. We're supposed to recognize the awesomeness, the greatness of Hashem. How do we recognize the awesomeness, the greatness of Hashem in the Beis HaMikdash? The Beis HaMikdash was a place of open miracles. You could literally see with your eyes God's presence. Yir'ah and Ri'iyah have the same exact letters for that reason. It's much easier to have that awe and that awareness and that recognition of the presence of Hashem when you see open miracles. Today we struggle sometimes with our Yiras Shamayim, sometimes with our awareness of God, because we don't see it in front of our eyes all the time. We strive to have Yiras Shamayim. We do our best to have that awareness as often as we possibly can. But it's not something that's in the pocket. It's not something that we do automatically because we don't see those things so clearly. And it's because of this that during this time we have to focus on, in order to improve our relationships, our speech, our listening, and our seeing. The Belzer Rebbe was a great tzaddik. He escaped World War II and he came to Tel Aviv. And when he came to Tel Aviv, he was surrounded by a very different group of people that he was used to in Eastern Europe. And he was walking around and he was coming to connection with different people in Tel Aviv. And some people, when they saw those who were not yet religious in Tel Aviv, those who didn't come from a frum background, when they saw them breaking Shabbos, they would refer to them as Mechalei Shabbos, those who desecrate Shabbos. And the Belzer Rebbe had tremendous love of the Jewish people, and he had tremendous ayin tova, he had beautiful eyes. That doesn't mean the color of his eyes were any particular color. It means that he looked at people with positive light. And instead of calling people Mechalei Shabbos, desecrators of Shabbos, when he would walk around and see people on Shabbos doing things that maybe he personally didn't believe was proper, he would say, Kulam Kedoshim, everybody is holy. And he would call them Shochachei Iker Shabbos, those who have forgotten about the core of Shabbos. And one Shabbos he was walking along and he saw a doctor who was not religious. And the doctor happened to be smoking. And as soon as this doctor on Shabbos saw the Rebbe coming into his direction, he stopped, he took a cigarette, he threw it to the side, and stopped smoking. And somebody happened to be walking with the Rebbe and had a little chutzpah. And he said to the Rebbe, "Rebbe, that's your forgotten the purpose of Shabbos, your forgetters of Shabbos. It doesn't seem like you forgot. If he would have forgot, he wouldn't have thrown the cigarette away when he saw you. It seems like he's pretty aware about Shabbos." And the Rebbe said to him, "The moment he saw us in our Shabbos clothing, in our strimals, in our long coats, then he remembered Shabbos. Up until that point, he didn't remember. We reminded him about Shabbos. It wasn't that he was doing something wrong. We helped him along." And you could see from this Rebbe, you could see from the Belzer Rebbe, that the way that we speak about people, or the way that we speak to people, matters. We don't just refer to people giving them titles or names that are harsh, that are upsetting, that could harm another person's feelings. We have to see the best in people. We have to look around when we see people and talk to people or about people. We have to recognize how important the way that we go about talking about things, the way that we talk about things, shape our thoughts. Today, a lot of the time, we're uncomfortable to talk about uncomfortable things. We avoid face-to-face conversations. Back in the day when you wanted to avoid a face-to-face conversation, a hard conversation, you'd call someone on the phone. Today, instead of calling someone on the phone, you send them a text. Maybe you don't want to send them a text because that's too close, so you send them an email. It creates more distance between people. But we have to recognize the value in speaking to people and the way that we speak to people, those face-to-face conversations. When I send somebody a text, it loses any emotion. It loses any feelings. I'm not sure. Is the person being sarcastic? Is the person being real? Is the person excited? Is the person not exciting? I'm terrible about writing ha-ha at people's texts. I'm terrible at that. Just it's not natural for me. So people send me a joke. Like, often I don't write ha-ha. And only afterwards do I realize, like, they probably think I'm really mean right now because I didn't laugh at their joke. I was laughing, I just didn't think like a thread, ha-ha. But because of that, if I had that conversation on purpose and they saw the smile on my face, they would know exactly what was going on. When we want to improve our relationship, it matters the way that we speak about, to where we have that conversation, how we have that conversation, our emotion, our feelings, all that matters. And we're trying to grow our relationships. If we're trying to create this closeness and this unity among the Jewish people, among people around the world, so our speech and the way we go about speaking about or to people is something that's critical and so important. That speech. The Alter Rebbe, the first Rebbe of Lubavitch, Rav Shneur Zalman of Liadi, shared a house with his son, Rav Dov Ber. They lived in very close quarters. And there's a very famous story often told by Rav Yehuda Amital that they were once sitting in three separate rooms. The Alter Rebbe was sitting in one room, his son was sitting in another room, and in the third room there was a baby. And that baby was taking a nap. And the Alter Rebbe was sitting and learning, and he had intensity about his learning, and he was a tremendous Talmud Chacham. And his son, Rav Dov Ber, who would later become known as the Mittler Rebbe, was also sitting there and learning, and he was also totally locked in his learning, totally focused in what he was doing. And they were both learning, and all of a sudden, the baby woke up from the baby's nap. And the baby began to cry. And Rav Dov Ber was in the room that was closer to the baby, and he was the father, and yet he was so engrossed in his learning that he did not hear the cry of the baby. The Alter Rebbe heard and noticed that the baby was crying, and the Alter Rebbe, after hearing the baby crying for a few moments, got up and went to the baby, picked up the baby, and took care of the baby and calmed the baby down. And later that day afterwards, the Alter Rebbe said to his son, "Rav Dov Ber, I don't understand. Didn't you hear the baby's cry?" And Rav Dov Ber said, "No, I really didn't notice. I was so engrossed in my learning, I didn't notice." And the Alter Rebbe said something very profound to his son. He said, "If our Torah makes us numb to the cry of a baby, that means that our Torah isn't being learned properly. The Torah that we're here to learn together is supposed to be a Torah that makes us more sensitive to the cry of a baby. Our Torah is supposed to inform and impact our very move in everything that we do in life. And therefore, we are supposed to be the people who hear other people, who hear the cry of a baby, who recognize when people need us, when people are there, and there are so many moments in life where we need to reach out to people, where we need to hear the lessons of life, where we be able to be open to recognize what's going on around us. And when we're trying to create relationships and improve them and develop them, it's not just our speech that's critical. It's not just the way that we phrase things that's important. It's not just how and where we have conversations and how we are able to communicate that's important. But sometimes being a listener is the most important quality that one can have. We all know from moments in our own lives when we're going through something difficult, everybody needs a friend who can sit there and listen. They don't need to say much. A lot of times they shrug their shoulders sometimes, they shake their head, and just their very presence of listening and being there for you is the most important and greatest feeling that you could possibly have. They don't have to offer deep advice. They don't have to say anything so profound. Their presence and their ability to be there and listen is the most important thing in the entire world. And we have to improve our hearing too. We have to be Shimu Dvar Hashem. We have to be able to listen to our friends, to God, to moments in our lives. We have to be able to hear cries whenever they are and wherever they are in order to improve those relationships. And finally, we have to improve our sight. The Baal Shem Tov was orphaned as a young child. And he was going through a very difficult time, and he found comfort hanging out in the forest. Being one with nature, having that quiet ability to reflect and to think was something that he found very, very comforting. And when he was a young child, he was in school, and school was not going well for him. He had a teacher who would berate the kids and yell at them. He had kids who were very wild and screaming. The conditions that they were surrounded in were not as beautiful as the conditions that we're in right now. And he was so frustrated one day that he just went running out of school and ran to the forest just to seek some quiet and some salvation. And while he was there, his father's parting words to him, to love every Jew, no matter who they are and what they are, with all your heart and all your soul, were ringing within him. He was thinking, I feel so bad. I relate so difficultly to my teacher, to the different kids. I have such negativity towards them. And he was really troubled. And he began to daven to Hashem. Hashem, please help me overcome this. I want to be able to love everybody. I want to be able to connect with everybody. And out of nowhere, an old man appeared. And this old man came and he asked him, who are you? What is your name? And the old man did not answer any of his questions, but he offered him a blessing. And he offered him a blessing to say, may you have inayim liros. May you have eyes to see. And before the Baal Shem Tov could ask him more and find out any particular information about who this old man was, the old man disappeared and he was gone. And the Baal Shem Tov, feeling a little bit better later that day, returned back to the village, back to the school. And when he got there, you can imagine that his Rebbe was not very happy. And if he was upset before and he was yelling at people before, oh boy, did he yell that day. And the Baal Shem Tov, instead of relating in a difficult way to the Rebbe at that moment as he was being berated and yelled at, how dare you leave on your own and cut class? How dare you do that? We were worried sick. He started to smile. He started to smile inside. He started to think. And he recognized, you know what? My Rebbe has such wonderful intentions. He's trying to teach Torah to us. He loves us. He cares for us. But he's going through a difficult time in life. He's a little bit older. He feels unfulfilled. He's a little bit feeling conditions of poverty. He really means well. It's just he sometimes gets a little frustrated. And he started to look at his classmates and the difficulty that they were going by, the wildness, the loudness, the difficult conditions. And he started to think, wow, look at these other kids. They have such passion and energy. They're not wild. They're people with potential. Look at that energy that they possess. And he started to see things in a totally different fashion. Instead of looking at them with such a negative eye, he started to have these einayim liros, this ability to see. And that's something that we all have to have. We have to have our eyes open, not to see other people in a negative light, but to be able to see the good in every other person. Not just to see the good in them, but to look around us and to be sensitive to what's happening around us. So see how we can help other people, what other people need. Don't wait for somebody to ask you, hey, can you do me a favor? If you see somebody drop something, run and go pick it up and help them. Don't wait for them to need it, to ask it. Chazal say that if you know somebody is a Baal Chesed, for sure they're a Yorei Shemayim. If they're a kind person, for sure they're a Yorei Shemayim, a God-fearing person. What does that mean? I know plenty of kind people. Does that automatically mean that they're God-fearing people? That their people have this awe and this awareness of Hashem. And Rav Volbi explains that both of these ideas are contingent on the same thing. That to be a Baal Chesed is a person who's sensitive and aware to what's happening around them. to recognize and to see people going through things and to run to go help them. To be a Yerei Shamayim is also to be sensitive and aware of what's happening around them. Maybe not with other people, but with God's presence in our lives. These two things are uniquely connected because they require these eyes to see, this awareness around us of how we can recognize what's happening within us. When we want to improve our relationships, sometimes it's just about looking and opening our eyes a little bit. Sometimes instead of being so focused on our own problems, in our own situation, in our own dalet amos, it's about looking around us, seeing that there are hundreds of people around me that I can help every single day. And it doesn't mean that I have to come swooping in and save their lives in any way, but little simple things, offering somebody a kind word, going and picking something up for somebody when they drop it, looking for moments in their lives that they can use something. If we're able to do that, we're able to improve the relationships that we have with them. So we recognize the fact that this all begins with us. We have to recognize and take the time to think what we're doing right here, right now, to have this cheshbon nefesh, and to think about ourselves. We have to recognize that we all have different roles in life. Sometimes we're parents, sometimes we're children, sometimes we're friends, sometimes we're spouses, sometimes we're students, sometimes we're teachers. There are different roles that we have within our lives, and we have to know about those roles. And we have to be open to having face-to-face conversations, not just the good ones and the fun ones, but even the difficult ones. The Torah says, "Lo sisna es achicha belavecha." Don't hate a person in your heart. And then it says, "Hocheach tochiach es amisecha velo tisa alav chet." By keeping things in sometimes, by holding those grudges and not having those conversations, ultimately things boil up within us, and then we have negative feelings about other people. If we're able to have hard conversations sometimes, but upfront conversations, and able to get it out and say, you know, can I talk to you about something? I really had something that I wanted to bring up. It fosters growth in our relationships with people. Maybe somebody was unaware of how they were treating us. Maybe they didn't recognize that they were doing something that was insensitive or harmful to us. We have to recognize that those conversations build those relationships. We have to be people who hear the messages of life, to hear the cries of the baby, to recognize how we can learn from moments in life. And we have to be able to open our eyes to see other people, to recognize that we can help other people, we can be aware of other things that are happening outside of us. And if we recognize what's happening outside of us, that's going to transform our relationship with other people, our relationship with Hashem, and ultimately our relationship with ourselves. Rav Tzadok points out that these three ways of interacting with people correspond with the three types of relationships. If you look at the bottom of this chart, he says, "Bein adam lechaviro," that has to do with our speaking to others. "Shimu," dvar Hashem, has to do with hearing ourselves, being able to learn about things about ourselves, being able to make lessons out of life moments. And finally, chazon, being able to recognize, being adam amakum, seeing things in our lives. And it's because of this that these three types of relationships that the Torah talks about in Bereishis, that the Torah tells us with that shva, that seri, and that chirik, that we're children of Hashem, we're friends with others, and we have these spousal relationships, they really represent becoming whole with ourselves. They represent being able to interact with other people. It means interacting with ourselves and interacting with Hashem. How do we work on these things? When do we work on these things? How do we become better at speaking, at listening, and at hearing? So if you take a look, the three Shabbosim that we have over these 3 weeks are special moments for that. Shabbos in general, but specifically on these 3 weeks. When we think about Shabbos, we're told, v'davar davar. We're supposed to watch the way that we speak specifically on Shabbos. When we talk about Shabbos, we say, the Torah says, Shamoa tishmu b'koli. If you take a look, Shamoa tishma b'koli is Rosh Hashanah Shabbos. Shabbos is a time to reflect. Shabbos is a time to be able to hear the messages of life when we stop all the busy activities of the week and we're able to sit with our family and our friends and have moments of contemplation. Rabbi Sachs writes that Shabbos is stillness at the heart of a turning world. We're all turning constantly. We're all going through so many different moments in life. And sometimes we just need a little stillness in order to take things in and to reflect and be able to inculcate the messages of life into our lives. And finally, we see the Torah says, Re'u ki Hashem nasa nachem es Shabbos. See that Hashem gave us Shabbos. Shabbos is a time to be able to improve our speech, our hearing, and our seeing. And it's because of that that Shabbos in Gematria equals Divrei, Shimu, and Chazon. These three ideas that we're talking about are speech, our speech, our listening, our hearing, and our seeing equal Shabbos, because that's what Shabbos is about. Shabbos allows us to have moments in life to stop and to improve these three critical areas of life, to be able to think, how can I improve my relationships? How can I become better myself? How can I become better in my connection with Hashem? How can I relate better to others? How can I enter different roles in life as a friend, as a family member, as a student? How can I be better in the way that I interact with others? This time of year, these 3 weeks, is the time for us to focus on improving the way that we interact with others. It's the time for us to be able to fix the sins that caused the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. We're here at such a beautiful time in the year to be able to feel the destruction, to be able to witness, to go to the Old City on Tisha B'Av during the 9 days, during the 3 weeks, the Shabbos, and be able to see what could be. To be able to daven at that kol on Friday night and to feel the intense spirituality that we feel at a beautiful davening on a Friday night. But think about what more it could be if the Beis HaMikdash was there. Think about the potential Kiddush Hashem that would exist. Think about the Yirah Shamayim that we all have if we saw open miracles up on the Har HaBayis. These are all opportunities for us to fix that which is wrong in the world, that which we know we're supposed to focus on during this time of year. And these are all ways that the Torah tells us to be able to fix our relationship. So we look no further than that first word at the very beginning of the Torah, Bereishis. We look no further than those Nekudos. We look no further than the three Haftorahs that we read during this time of year. And that gives us the ability to pause and contemplate, to think about the moments that we need to be able to see things, to be able to hear things, and to be able to say the right things to those that we need to say them to. I wish you all a wonderful evening and hope that this will be relevant for us in our lives.